of those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or affiliates.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for this hour, it's going to be your views as well, because we're going to have Open Line Wednesday. And our number, if you'd like to call us, and you don't have to be talking about what I'm talking about at all, you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, or if you have a question. Anyway, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But I thought this evening I'd just start out talking a little bit about this a problem we have in the Monterey Bay area where I live, where they want to spray for the light brown apple moth. The light brown apple moth, apparently it's gotten in here from Australia. It threatens the agricultural areas of our country, this area, and so they want to spray. And they're going to spray with something called a pheromone. And they won't tell us what's in it because it's proprietary a secret, but it's predominantly water, so we don't have anything to worry about. Now, we're told that we have absolutely no cause for concern. We just shouldn't go outside at the time they're spraying in the evenings. We're told that it will not harm us at all, but they will not spray close to the ocean because it may harm invertebrates. They say that it's been used on animals, it's been tested, but they won't tell us where the testing is done. In fact, everything is a trade secret, so we're just told we should trust. We should trust the people in the government. Now, of course, we know that they've already done some spraying over in the Monterey area, and one of the women testified after the spraying that, you know, one day while her little bushes were just covered with bees, the day after the spraying, all of the bees were dead. They were just laying there on the ground, all dead, and nobody bothered to counter what she was saying. The question is, can we trust the government when they tell us something is perfectly safe? We're from the government, we're here to help, and you must trust us. Well, I will have to admit that at one time I did trust the government. I'll never forget many years ago when they were going to be spraying large parts of California with malathion, I think it was the Mexican fruit fly, and you know, but they kept insisting that the scientists said it was safe, and well, if the scientists said it was safe, it must be safe. But I don't look at things like that anymore. I really don't trust what anybody says. I want to see the scientific studies. Because, you see, my perspective has entirely changed. It really came about because of my involvement with trying to stop the AIDS epidemic back in the middle 1980s. Well, it would have been very easy to have brought the epidemic under control. All you had to do was use standard public health techniques. I mean, a routine testing to find out who had the disease, routine testing when patients went into the doctor's office or the dentist's office, or premarital testing and prenatal and neonatal testing, that we certainly could have identified the people who had the disease and stopped its spread. And the Centers for Disease Control and the federal officials and the U.S. Public Health Service blocked the implementation of effective public health measures, and over half a million Americans died unnecessarily, and I went back to the CDC, and I talked to the officials there, and the number one man, Jim Curran, knew exactly what was going on and felt very badly that he was not able to do what was necessary to save human lives, but the other people around him, of course, simply knew exactly what they were doing and used all sorts of fallacious excuses to justify refusing to try to save human lives. And it was at that point that I suddenly began to realize there had to be people with a different agenda, which led me, of course, into my talks we've given on Nundare College genocide and planned population reduction. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we're simply talking about, can we trust what the people and officials in government tell us when they say something is perfectly safe? Well, I was saying that at one time, you know, I find it very difficult to believe that anybody would want to harm the American public. Well, I hate to look back and realize how naive I was at that time. Yeah, there really are people who would like to harm the American public, and if you wanted to do the maximum amount of harm, where would you get a job? Would you get a job as a doctor in a little clinic, or would you get a job as a public health officer working for the federal government where you could alter federal policy to do the maximum amount of harm and deceive the American people? And I would like to suggest that that is exactly what has happened. Now, I've had public health officers come to me and say to me, Stan, we know what you're trying to do as far as using standard public health techniques to stop the AIDS epidemic. You're absolutely right, but we can't come out and publicly support you. We'd lose our jobs, but you keep up the good work. And, of course, as you get in further and further into so many of the things we're talking about, and we talk about here on Radio Liberty, it becomes very obvious that there are many, many people with government jobs who are afraid to speak out. Now, of course, a perfect example of that would be what's happening as far as the poisoning of the American people by putting hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is a toxic product, so toxic you can't put it into water, you can't even dump it in the ocean. That's why they're putting it in our drinking water, and they call it water fluoridation. Most people think that they're actually putting a fluoride, sodium fluoride, into the water when they fluoridate it, and yet in 90% of the cases, and down in San Diego now where they're planning on fluoridating the water, they're going to use hydrofluorosilicic acid, at least according to a woman who called me today. And this is a toxic substance that not only has all sorts of the polonium in it and cadmium, but it also increases the level of lead in the blood of children in the area where they actually use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, and there is no safe level of lead, and there's really no safe level of the fluoride either. And then fluoride is one of the most active and toxic substances. So why are we adding it to the drinking water? Why, very simply. And of course, I would suggest that people get out get copies of the book called The Impact of Science on Society. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is Open Line Wednesday, and so we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you would like to talk about what I'm talking about, or you have a subject of your own or a question. But what I'm suggesting is that there really are evil and wicked people working at the upper echelons of government who are going right along with the poisoning of the American people. And I would simply refer people to something that was written by Bertrand Russell back in 1953 in his book, The Impact of Science on Society. And this is what he wrote on page 50. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Let me repeat that again. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. That's page 50 of Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society. It's very hard for the American people to believe that anybody would put things into injections that we would give to the people. that would harm them, or put anything into the diet of people that would harm them, and yet that's exactly what they're doing. As far as the injections are concerned, we know that Dr. Geyer was able to get into the CDC databank. They did everything they could to block him, but he did get in there, and he found by comparing the children that had received their vaccinations that contained mercury with those that did not, because they'd, one of the large HMOs had run the study, the difference was 27 times more autism. 27 times more autism. 27 times more children had their lives shattered and their families shattered in the children that got the mercury shots than those that didn't. And although supposedly they've taken most of the mercury out of our vaccines, childhood vaccines, they have left it in vaccines given to children in the United States, and we're still sending vaccinations all throughout the world to those little black children and brown children in third world countries because we love them so much. And so we want to get them their full dose of mercury, knowing full well what a devastating effect it has. And that as far as our elderly is concerned, right now you're seeing the advertisements, the propaganda campaign, take your flu shot, the flu season's upon us, knowing full well that Dr. Fudenberg's work that shows that if you are between 60 and 65, and over a five-year period, you take three or four influenza shots 10 years down the line, the incidence of Alzheimer's disease goes up 1,000%. Why would anybody want to harm the elderly? Why? Because there are too many of them. Because most of them are useless eaters, and with this whole Medicare Social Security system will not work unless we kill off a lot of the elderly. If you doubt what I'm saying, we'll be glad to send you a copy of Dr. Fudenberg's work, and Dr. Fudenberg was certainly one of the world's leading experts on vaccinations. He trained most of the experts on vaccination today. And if you want to know the relationship between autism and mercury, well, you need to get the DVD we have by Dr. David Ayoub called Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. And when you get that, you get a CD-ROM with literally thousands of pages of scientific data going to what they know how harmful the mercury is. And that's why they're giving it to our children. When you can get that through your head, that there really are evil and wicked people out there who know what they're doing. Now, I'm not saying the average doctor does. The average doctor has taken up and believes that vaccines are safe and effective because he's never been allowed to hear the other side. Well, let's start off with Bart, who's calling us from Carmel. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir. Thank you. I asked Herman if I could be the first one up tonight because I am in your general area, and I did have a long discussion with a friend of mine tonight about the subject of this spraying that's going on, which affects everybody around here. How the whole there's sinister aspects about it. There's questions that are unanswered.
Won't they tell us what's in the spray they're going to be using? They say, well, we can't do that. That's a trade secret. Listen, if you produce a product, you've got a patent on it, this is simply a cop-out. When they say, we can't tell you, it's a trade secret. You don't have a trade secret when you've got something patented.
That is one of the questions that's unanswered. And as I was explaining to my friend 40, 30, 40, 50 years ago, this type of thing would not go on because people demanded responsiveness from their government. He was telling me about a meeting he went to in Santa Cruz concerning the spraying issue, and a number of people who showed up, he estimated around 100, and they were pretty well informed, and the representatives, the various government representatives, company representatives came. But he said he was disappointed because Santa Cruz being a university town, he said he expected to see a large number of young people there upset about this issue, and he said there were not that many. And I said, well, it indicates how well neutralized the entire population has become. Because, for example, all college campuses in this country right now really should be on fire with rebellion, considering we have just a blatantly illegal, murderous war going on, but yet there's not too much activity on the campuses. And this, to me, just demonstrates how well neutralized the entire population has become. Another point I'd like to make along the lines of using the population as guinea pigs. If you recall, Dr. Stan, about approximately 25 years ago, an agricultural event occurred in the Watsonville area that was the first of its kind in the world, and for the first time ever, a product, a bioengineered organism called Frostban, was released in the open. Nothing like this had ever occurred before. At the time, it was very controversial. There was a lot of public discussion about it, pro and con. The purpose of this stuff called Frostban was supposedly to protect the strawberry plants against frost damage. And so this genetically engineered organism was released, and I learned at a later time that the company that manufactured this organism, this was 25 years ago, was a subsidiary of IG Farben. Okay? And got my alarm bells going a bit. Because
I remember it was IG Farben that made the special gas that they use in the chambers for the Jews.
Zyklon V.
Right, right.
That's correct.
And of course, people have to understand that there really are wicked and evil people out there, and they say, well, we're just trying to help. And I mean, after all, we want to save the strawberries. Well, of course, but what about the people? And when you begin interfering with nature, and some of this, of course, may be very well motivated, but some of them, they know exactly what they're doing. And so many of the genetically engineered food, if you put it in front of animals, they will not eat it. And, of course, when they do eat it, usually the males become sterile. Gee, do you think this might have anything to do with population control? If anybody would like, of course, we have a little book on GMO foods, beware the genetic food problem. Anyway, it's GMO foods, and it gives the documentation on how the pig farmers, you know, they lost their whole flocks because, or their whole herds because the male pigs became sterile eating the genetically modified corn, and yet most of the corn we're eating today is genetically modified. I wonder why so many men are having erectile dysfunction today. We never used to see it, and yet, of course, it affects a considerable large part of the male population today. Why wonder why? And, of course, it's not just that. I mean, certainly the aspartame, the mercury in our food, in our fillings, and certainly the aspartame, the MSG, all of these, of course, affect the endocrine system, and certainly the fluoride does.
From 1,000 different directions, we're under mental, spiritual, and physical attack.
Amen.
And there is no question in my mind that we are inside the beast system now. In closing, I would just say, talk to anybody that has had contact with their local small-town city council, right from the city council level to the president of the United States. Corruption permeates this country in such a way that it simply cannot go on too much longer. It's just rotting everywhere you look, and I'm just sick of it, but I don't know what to do except to try to talk to people, Dr.
You Smith. Keep talking to people and get them listening to our programs, will you, Bart? Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
God bless. And let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz, and incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But let me point out that they're poisoning our children, certainly with aspartame. They know, for instance, that the milk, so much of the milk, is actually created with this bovine growth hormone, this recombinant RBGH, and of course, you know, the actually increases dramatically the incidence of cancer of the breast and cancer of the prostate. We're talking about 5 times the cancer increase in the cancer of the breast it's 7 times increase in cancer of the breast and 5 times the increase of prostatic cancer, at least according to Jeffrey Green, who's been studying this. They know that. Well, when was the last time you read that in certainly any publication? Why doesn't the government tell us why people are going to have to die of something? They might as well die of cancer. Who could possibly say anything that crude? Why, certainly Dr. Richard Day, who used to be the medical director of Planned Parenthood, and you need to get our 4-tape set entitled The New Order of the Barbarians. It's based upon a talk that Dr. Richard Day gave back in 1969, just before Dr. MacArthur testified before the House Appropriations Committee, asked for $10 million so they could create a new disease that would do another method of mass killing. We have both the 4-tape set And we have Dr. MacArthur's complete testimony. Somebody in government sent it to us, and sent it actually to our good friend Joyce Riley, because they wanted us to tell you what's going on. And we have it here. There's no question it happened. A new method of mass killing, and you finance with your tax dollars. Well, Ray, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. What you were talking about kind of was similar to the lines that I was thinking.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Cell phones are right in the population center of Santa Cruz, very close to where his mother lives in a retirement home. And now I do know that cell phones can actually produce DNA damage. We have an article out of the University of Washington, and actually the university was threatened. They were actually threatened if they dared publish this article that said that the use of cell phones could actually produce DNA damage, and DNA damage, of course, can lead to cancer. Now, I don't know about the antenna. I would suspect it's the same, but they do not want the American people to know. I think what we have to understand, Ray, is there really are people out there who have no human compassion.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't care how many people die. In fact, mm-hmm. the more people die, the better, because we have too many people in our country already, mm-hmm. and certainly the elderly are a drag on society. All they do, of course, is eat and collect Social Security and run up the Medicare bills, and mm-hmm. if we don't get rid of them, this whole system's coming down. And their attitude is, who cares about them anyway? They're only concerned about the elite, and there is an elite who has no concern about you and I and your mother.
Yeah. There's so many things to talk about. I don't know. I haven't got I wouldn't have time to cover everything, but I do think that the Republican Party is bankrupt. They're both bankrupt, but
right.
Mitt Romney he wants to put more troops over there, and I don't agree with that at all, and Giuliani is the same way. I mean, they're both carbon copies of the guy we got in there now.
Yeah, but the Democrats are exactly the same when they're asked to say that if you're elected president, you'll pull the troops out. And both Obama and Hillary and Edwards said, well, we certainly would not make that statement. In other words, it would depend on what the situation was. And of course, I think there's one thing. We ought to pull our troops out. There's going to be a bloodbath, whether we stay or whether we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have no intention of pulling our troops out. The plan is to keep them stationed there indefinitely.
Yeah.
And anybody who wants to verify what I'm saying, you go to the website of the Project for the New American Century.
Yeah.
That's www.newamericancentury.org. Newamericancentury.org. Pull down the Rebuilding America's Defenses, and I think it's on page 14. Well, they would tell you, this is written in 2000, and it's written by this group that represents Rumsfeld and Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and certainly John Bolton and all the people who, of course, are surrounding President Bush today. And of course, and 27 of them, Jeb Bush, the president's brother. And basically what they say is, you know, it doesn't matter whether Saddam Hussein is there or not. We want to keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. Now, this was over a year before the attack on 9/11.
Yeah.
The American people do not understand. This was all set up and decided long before the attack on the September 11th.
Yeah, because, of course, we put Saddam Hussein in there, and he was apparently, at one time, he was a CIA man, wasn't he, or something?
No, you're talking about the fellow we had this afternoon?
Saddam.
Yeah. Oh, Saddam. Oh, yes, Saddam certainly worked for the CIA. He was a professional assassin, one of those employed by the Central Intelligence Agency in the late 1950s.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If any of you would like to know the books we have written 10 or 15 years ago talking about Saddam working for the CIA, would be glad to get it. Or better still, we do have an article out of the Washington Post called When an Ally Becomes an Enemy, pointing out that all during the 1980s, your tax dollars financed Saddam Hussein. Where did he get the wherewithal to build his chemical and biological weapons? Why, from the United States. How did he finance himself? With massive loans from the United States. And, of course, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of that article, Washington Post. And certainly we have the information from so other places. We financed Saddam Hussein. And then, of course, the wonderful book by Robert Baer, which we do carry, called See No Evil. Robert Baer, of course, was a CIA agent working in Iraq. And he will tell you that the Army, on two occasions during the 1990s, tried to overthrow Saddam Hussein, get him out of office, have freedom in their home, in their country. And what happened? The American State Department betrayed both efforts to overthrow Saddam Hussein. You have to ask yourself why. Or maybe nothing as it appears to be. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Mike and then our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Mike, go ahead. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, comment. First, I wanted to address Ray's concern before I get to my own thing. Looking at the planet, the whole of the planet and the human race and electromagnetic radiation, in the last 50 years or so, the human race has never been subjected to what it has been subjected to in the last 50 years. We've been saturated or blanketed in radio frequencies of all kinds. And I don't think there have any, I don't know of any studies that have been done to see what effect this might have had, what effect it's been having on us all this time, and where we're headed with it. So it gets much bigger than cell phones and things like that. And I don't know what else to say.
Well,
but I think it's important to get the idea out there and people can begin thinking about it.
All right, fine. I certainly concur. Go ahead. What was the topic you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, for the spraying, the local spraying, if these authorities, such as they are, come along saying, trust us. They've actually said that. Trust us. You know, like we're from the government, like you like to say. Trust us. Well, then they go on to cite the fact, or the idea, the fact that the pheromone is approved by the EPA. So we're supposed to respect that. Well, the EPA also approved MTBE and also forced it upon us for a good 5 or 6 years, poisoning us in the most insane way. At one point, the public pressure was so bad that they quote unquote conceded our point and said that they would remove it from the gasoline as an additive. For those maybe who are far away and don't know the issue, it was a gasoline additive that would make a cleaner emission from the automobile. So I believe it actually did that, but anyhow they.
No, actually it did not do that. It actually contaminated. We had worse contamination with the MTBE than we had before we had the MTBE.
Well, I agree with you. My point is that the emissions directly from the exhaust pipe of the car were probably a little bit cleaner. But at the same time, it was adding an insane poison to the environment that just went through everything. It was uncontainable, uncontrollable, and it's the effects of it are going to go on for years and years, and we had many people coming down with...
Hold that thought right there, Mike. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Mike, and Mike is simply pointing out that here locally we've been told, oh, my goodness, you know, you don't have to worry. The EPA says it's perfectly safe. It's just like RAID. Just like RAID? I mean, would you really want to spray yourself with RAID and your animals with RAID and all the insects in your yard with RAID? And then Mike's point was, well, can we, just because the EPA says it's safe, can we really trust them? After all, they told us that MTBE was safe. And, of course, those of you living in the East may not remember MTBE, but this was forcibly added to our gasoline. All the gasoline in California had MTBE in it. There was not one study that showed that it cut down on emissions. In fact, they did a study eventually at the University of California that showed it really didn't. But not only did it contaminate the air with the MTBE, it contaminated the water supply. And, of course, what happened is we have communities today where they can't use the water. It's still contaminated by MTBE, even though we haven't used it for half a dozen years. So the EPA told us that MTBE was safe. They're telling us that this new product they want to spray on us is safe. Should we believe the EPA? And I would like to suggest not. They're also, of course, refusing to take a stand on the use of hydrofluorosilicic acid in the water supply, knowing full well it's a poison and it's having a disastrous effect on our people. So go ahead, Mike.
Well, it just seems like the EPA has done nothing really for the environment over the years. It may give the appearance of doing that, but more than anything else, what it's done is facilitated government control over the lives of everybody on the planet, or at least in the Americas. And once, with back to the MTBE, the methyl tertiary butyl ethers, they at one point, I can't remember what year, in the late 90s, they conceded the point that there was a problem, and then they said it would take another 3 years to eliminate it from, as a gasoline additive, and it did. It just seemed like, in spite of everything, they went ahead and completed whatever program they had in mind to absolutely pollute the environment for us.
Well, but if you understand that this is what it's really all about, you're supposed to think they're really there to help us. They're not. And, of course, any of our listeners who would like to really know what's going on with the EPA, there's a website. It's called www.NTEU280. That's for the National Treasury Employers Union. That's NTEU280.org, and you can read there what the scientists and the technicians who work for the EPA think about the water fluoridation the EPA has authorized. And the scientists who work for the EPA will tell you they're poisoning the American people. Check out the website. This is the website for the employees, of the Environmental Protection Agency. And, of course, the trouble is, of course, that the EPA was formed not to protect the American people, but to do as much harm as possible. And, of course, remember the aftermath of the 9/11 bombing there in New York. And of course, the EPA immediately came out and said, the air is perfectly all right. There's nothing to worry about. Get right back to work. There's going to be no contamination. And they simply lied to the people. And literally thousands of people who worked there on the pile of the rubble of the World Trade Center will die because, or at least be permanently crippled, because of the EPA's failure to warn them. And Christine Todd Whitman, who headed the EPA at that time, is being sued, and justifiably so, for lying to the people of New York, and lying to the firefighters, and lying to the people who went down there to help on the pile.
Yeah, and so there's no reason in the world to trust the EPA, and anyone who comes along as a state authority to saying to us that we should trust the EPA, they should not be trusted. They are all from the government, and they're here to help us. Now, I want to say, to point out one more odd little item. I don't know if it amounts to anything, but with this pheromone spraying, they want to do it at night. And they say that the reason for that is that the moths are flying at night. But I can't help but notice an interesting parallel. This might sound like a stretch, but just give it a chance. Going back to the 1970 Defense Appropriations, where they're talking about developing biological weapons, for the warfare. They are talking about how these weapons would have, the passages, Stan. Help me out a little bit. I don't have quite the memory you do. I'm not the walking encyclopedia. But they want to make sure that these weapons would be used at night because the ultraviolet from the sun would destroy the effectiveness of these biological weapons. And I can't help but wonder if there is a biological in this so-called pheromone spray that they want to apply to us.
Well, we really don't know, Mike.
We
need a lot more information. But I would simply, for our listeners out there, I would like to suggest that they get a copy of something called the Rockefeller Committee Report. Actually, it was a report to the Veterans Administration in 1994 on the Gulf War illness and experimentation on human experimentation in the United States. And the book really, of course, the pamphlet, it's probably 80 or 100 pages long. It came out over the signature of Senator Jay Rockefeller. But the report simply talked about the fact that they had been experimenting on the American soldiers and the American people For years, it experimented on hundreds of thousands of Americans without their knowledge or consent. And some of them were in the military, some of them were just civilians, and they would, right here in the San Francisco Bay Area, they went along the coast spraying a bacteria, some sort of a fermentins, I forgot the exact name of this. They just wanted to see how it would drift over. It let's imagine the enemy was going to try to poison us. Well, they actually used a product, and a number of people got very ill from the bacteria that were being released by our government to protect us, and at least one of them died. And when they tried to get a lawsuit going on it, why the judge was in on the was fixed, and there's a book written about the trial, and they would not allow the truth to come out. You can't let the American people know that they've been experimenting on us with no concern at all about our health or how many lives were destroyed or how many people would die from these experiments. And any of you who doubt what I'm saying, let me suggest you call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Rockefeller Committee report. That's what we call it, but it's really the report of the Veterans Administration in 1994. Actually, I was able to track down the woman who had actually done the report for the Veterans Administration, asked her to come on the program. She was afraid to, frankly afraid to come on the program. But it's an excellent report. I could see why she'd be afraid, realizing, of course, the crass indifference to human life or human suffering of people at the highest level echelons of our government who for years have been experimenting on the American people. And, of course, you know, there's the story of the 4,000 Yemeni children who were actually kidnapped in Israel and sent over to the United States. You can look this up on the Internet under Barry Shamish, or anybody of you want copies of this, we can get the information for you. 4,000, about 43 or 400 Yemeni children were kidnapped in Israel, taken from their parents, and shipped to America in cages and used for radiation experiments, and most of them died. About 500 survived the experiments, but after all, they were simply they were Yemeni Jewish children. There is a crass indifference to human suffering. There were another over 100,000 children of there were Sephardic children from Africa, from the Moroccans. And they were given radiation treatments to their brain in Israel. We provided the X-ray machines. They were given 35,000 times the accepted dose of radiation to their brains simply to see how much damage it would do. And many of those children today still don't have any hair. This was done in the 1950s. Many of them don't have any hair. Many of them are mentally defective. Over in Israel, the Sephardic children. People say those things couldn't go on. If they did, why, we would hear about them. But if you want the documentation, you can go up on the Internet, Google it in. First of all, the Yemeni children who were kidnapped and brought to the United States. Secondly, the Sephardic children, they were basically from North Africa. They were Jews from North Africa. And they took those children, specifically the Sephardic children, because they're the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they this terrible thing, radiating them with 35,000 times the accepted dose of radiation for ringworm. They weren't treating ringworm. They were trying to see how much damage they could do to their brains, and I think they succeeded in many cases. We're dealing with people who have a different, entirely different set of values, people who have no respect for human life, Mike. That's why I'm concerned.
Can I bring one more item?
Sure, go right ahead. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you want documentation of what we say, we'll provide it for you. These are stories that the average American doesn't want to hear because we love our country. But unfortunately, there's some evil and wicked people who've gained control of our government. And this is why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Here I talk on the forbidden secret. And once you understand who this is, then, of course, you can help us do something to try to save America, to take America back. But go ahead, Mike.
Well, many listeners will remember back to Gulf War I. Night after night, we were shown in the news the battlefield activities. Mainly, you could call it the war between the Patriots and the Scuds. The Scuds were the missiles that the Iraqis were firing over at our guys, and we would send up a Patriot missile and explode the thing up there, however high, many thousands of feet in the air. And everybody would cheer because we had blown away another Scud that didn't hit its target. Well, those Scuds were full of biological weapons, all sorts of weirdo stuff. That our Patriots were even going up and exploding those things in the air so that these biological things would come down on our guys who came home sick. This was done at night.
Let me just comment on a very similar. Certainly, we know that they blew up the dump that contained chemical biological warfare in Iraq. It was a place called Kamachea. And they blew up not only Kamachea, but a number of other sites where large amounts of chemical and biological warfare agents that belonged to the Iraqis were stored. Now, why would you blow up these deposits with large amounts of chemical and biological warfare agents? Because when you blow them up, they're going to get in the atmosphere. Bury them, leave them underground, but don't blow them up unless you want to contaminate your troops. And 150,000 American troops were contaminated. And what you don't know is that of the 675,000 troops who went over there, over 80,000 are dead, according to the Veterans Administration. And if you say that couldn't be because of that, that were to happen, over 10% of the healthy young men who went over there in 1991 to fight the Gulf War, if that had happened, why everybody in America would be up in arms. Well, if you'd like to get the Veterans Administration figures, we got them from the Veterans Administration. And, of course, you can pull them down, too, but we'll be glad to send them to you if you doubt what I'm saying. You have to understand that we're dealing with evil and wicked people working at the highest levels of our government. That's why they see nothing wrong with torture and inhumane treatment. That's why they see nothing wrong with killing between 500,000 and 1 million Iraqis in this war of liberation we're fighting over there to give them freedom. I mean, we have people with a different set of values. And that is why we should be concerned, because if they're unconcerned about the death in Iraq, will they be unconcerned when, of course, the chaos strikes in America? And why are they building detention camps? Why have they given Halliburton, a subsidiary, $385 million to build detention camps in America? Now, they've not built them. They're just standing by. They have a four-year contract. Every year they get $385 million. To be standing by to build detention camps. Now, why would you do that if you weren't planning on building the detention camps? Who's going to go into those detention camps? And if anybody in the listening audience doubts what I'm saying, if you have a computer, go up and Google in Halliburton, $385 million, detention or concentration camps. Find out if it's true. And then, of course, stand on the walls of the city and yell and scream and let people know and try to get others to check out and find out what's going on while we still can. Anything else, Mike, before I let you go?
This one trailer on that piece about the Scuds that our guys over there were given an alarm system that would go off when biological agents were present. And they were even told to ignore those alarms when they went off, that they were going off falsely or it just didn't matter or whatever, but they came back sick and dying.
At least a third and probably even more of them are sick today, those who are not already dead.
Right.
Over 80,000, at least, according to the Defense Department's figures. And anybody who would like to check what I'm saying, you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Not from some fellow sitting in a cave over in Pakistan, but, of course, from people at the highest levels of our government who, of course, worship a different God. Thanks so much, Mike.
Well, are you still there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just the one point, all this is a big if, and it's just because we don't know and they won't tell us what's in this pheromone spray, the so-called pheromone spray. They're placing the proprietary information of the manufacturer over the health and well-being and just the general knowledge of what we would be breathing in or however it comes into our lives. Somehow that proprietary thing is supposed to be more important than the general public. That's strange.
I agree with you. Bye-bye. Thanks, right. Mike. And, of course, a caller had asked and wanted to know, of course, if we got into a problem in the Middle East and of course, we shut off the oil supply, what would happen here in the United States? Well, I'll tell you what would happen in the United States. We don't only get 10% of our oil from the Gulf, from Saudi Arabia and those Gulf states. We get most of our oil from Canada, from Mexico, from Venezuela and Nigeria. And those are the major sources of oil used here in the United States. So we would not be, of course, affected. I'll tell you what, the rest of the world would be affected. And, of course, it would be very difficult on China. It would be difficult, but it would be great for Russia because Russia is a major oil producer thanks to the money that was sent over there by the U.S. Bank, World Banks, the American oil companies, the Export-Import Bank. And, of course, we have put in the oil wells, we put in the natural gas wells that have made Russia the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world. Done with your tax money, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly somebody was asking what would happen if there was a major crisis in the Middle East. I believe the price of oil would go up, but I believe that we would not have any real oil shortages here. And I also believe that there will be, though, a tremendous unrest here in the United States. In fact, I believe that they probably have terrorist cells in the United States, Iranian terrorist cells, but I think the significant thing is that they actually have them all infiltrated. I do not believe there's an independent terrorist organization that we have not infiltrated, and we're watching. Let's go right now to Todd, upstate New York. Hi, Todd. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
I just wanted to, like, especially tonight, you're talking about a lot of the, you know, heinous things that are being done and have been done, and I guess most people are aware to a certain degree. But I kind of have a comment, a question type of thing.
Okay,
where
I got to go fast because we're all just about out of time. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. Basically, Dr. Stan, do you feel that because so many people are involved in a lot of this heinous things that spiritually they know where their power is coming from?
I think that some of them do. I think some of them don't. You can't tell, who really knows that this is Luciferian and who doesn't. That's why getting the membership list of the Lucis Trust is so important. And there's a lot of material up on the Internet about the Rockefellers' connection with the Lucis Trust. I wish we had better sources of information. There's some people who claim that they have the list of the about 6,000 members of the Lucis Trust, but I don't necessarily trust them. I don't think everybody who belongs to the Lucis Trust understands this is truly Luciferian. I think an awful lot of people are involved who just think the world government's great. If we only had a world government, we wouldn't have any more wars. But I do believe that the people at the very top understand that it's Luciferian and certainly that they are in touch with this spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. What I suggest you do is go to the website, www.lucistrust.org. Read the material. They will tell you about the people who really run the world. They call them the ancients of wisdom, the masters of wisdom, the spiritual hierarchy, the elder brothers. And, of course, these are all demonic beings.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Good night, and thanks very much for listening. And, Todd, get everybody upstate New York listening, will you?
I certainly have been trying.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And, of course, we're fortunate to have people all across America listening to our programs, and it's up to you to get others listening. And, of course, we'll try to provide you with reliable information to get them thinking. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, another Open Lines program. I always enjoy them. If you'd like, of course, to get that quotation we opened the program with from Bertrand Russell, you'll find that on page 50 of his book, The Impact of Science on Society. Now, if you want to get the page itself, why, of course, we've included that in our syllabus, The Hidden Agenda, The Fluoride Deception, and we've got a great DVD that goes along with that, or VHS, but we suggest the DVD. That's The Hidden Agenda, the DVD and or the syllabus. But if you get the syllabus, you'll actually have that one page right in your hands. And you can see that Bertrand Russell is actually calling and telling us that by diet, injections, and injunctions, they're going to control the minds of the children, so they will never disagree with, of course, the powers that be. And then, of course, we hope many of you want to get the Rockefeller Committee report. We do carry that. It's inexpensive. We actually have a DVD called None Dare Call It Genocide. And then we have another one called The Planned Population Reduction, which is about, two and a quarter hours. It's a talk I gave for the Prophecy Club. We, of course, have other information. We have a syllabus on, we have a monograph. It's up on our website called The Population Control Agenda Monograph. We recommend that. And if you want copies, well, we can get it for you. But it is up on our website, The Population Control Agenda Monograph. We actually have a video called Population Control and a four-tape set on population control. Fascinating information on why they outlawed DDT. They didn't outlaw DDT because it was destroying the birds or making soft eggshells or destroying the fish. They destroyed it because it was so effective in saving human lives and people were not dying of malaria. And since we banned DDT, we've probably killed about 100 million people, about 3 million a year. And if you believe what you're being told, that only 1 million people a year die of malaria, you go up on the internet and Google in malaria, 3 million people die a year. And you'll find that the real figure is closer to 3 million than 1 million. They're simply lying to the American people. And now after 34 years, they've banned DDT. Now they're suddenly saying, you know, maybe that isn't so bad after all. Or maybe we're going to start the spraying of rooms with that and, you know, saving human life. But we've killed 100 million people in the process. Understand, we're dealing with evil and wicked people. When you understand that, when you understand there's a Luciferian agenda, please go to www.luciustrust.org. That's luciustrust.org. Get their material, get their flyers. They'll send you free pamphlets on the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. They'll send you the pamphlets on the New World Leader and on, of course, the New World Religion, because everything is this intense hatred of Christianity and everything that's wholesome and good. They just have a different world view. And, of course, these people are very, very powerful and very wealthy. Perhaps one of the best ways to understand what's going on is to get the videos They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll by Pastor Joe Schimmel, and it deals with, of course, the music industry. You can get the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. But understand, of course, that the same thing goes on in our government, in banking, in our educational system, in our military. And if you sell your soul to the devil, you're going to do very well. You're going to get lots of money, lots of power, lots of sex, lots of everything you want on this earth. But, of course, eternity is a very long time. Understand that there truly is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please don't forget the all-day seminar we're having here on the 28th of October, if you could possibly make it. That's the 28th of October. People are coming in from other parts of the country to talk, and of course give us a call if you're interested in coming. 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Rosalind Peterson. And Rosalind is really a fascinating woman, and I've really enjoyed talking to her off the air, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy listening to what she has to say. She's recently, of course, was talking at the United Nations, addressing committees there, informing them about what's happening as far as the weather changes that are being intentionally brought about. And we're going to let Rosalind tell you what she's talking about, because there are things that are changing of the weather. And in many instances, the weather is being intentionally modified. And, of course, all you need to do is have the people, of course, in the Sierras want to bring down lots of snow over the Sierras so they can have good skiing. But then what happens to the water that should have fallen in, of course, on the other side there? You know, if the water all falls in the Sierras. And so what they're doing is selectively changing the weather, of course, and then this affects everybody else. And so I'm going to let Rosalind tell you what she's discovered. And it's amazing what one person can do who has the determination to do the research. The information's out there. And we're going to have her crystallize it and tell you what's going on. Rosalind, thank you so very much for being with us. Rosalind, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so very much for being with us. You go ahead and why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and how you got started in this.
Well, I was born and raised on a working farm in Northern California. And so I was raised close to the earth, and we grew apples and walnuts, and we had gardens full of vegetables and lots of fruits. So I have a background in agriculture. And then as I went through my working career, I worked for the USDA as a certified crop loss adjuster, which meant I traveled throughout many California counties and determined why ranchers or farmers were losing their crops or their grass crops or wheat or tomatoes, whatever crops were going on. And I was doing this during the 1990s. And then starting in about 2002, I all of a sudden began to notice that there was a change in tree health and there was a change in agricultural crop health. And it began to bother me because the trees were beginning to decline sharply in many areas. And I began to see changes in weather patterns which weren't normal for us. And so I decided in 2002 that I'd start to look into this area and see if I could find out what was going on. And so the path I took at that point led me to earlier this year being invited by the United Nations to speak at their climate change convention, which they held September 5th through 7th in September of this year. And they asked me to speak on climate change with regard to agriculture. So that's where I got started. And then due to my research, they invited me, and so here I am.
Well, of course, now, did you do this on your own? Were you working for somebody else? Were you financed? Or did you just decide to get the information together? Did you stay working for the agricultural department?
No, I retired from them, and I was working for the Mendocino County Probation Department at the time that I started to investigate this subject. So when I wasn't working, I was taking pictures and doing research.
All right, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Rosalind Peterson. Well, Rosalind, you go right ahead.
So what happened was I started doing research in my spare time, and on weekends, and I started traveling throughout Northern California into the state of Washington, different areas to find out what was going on in other places as well as here. And it was my discoveries and my research that began to lead me down a path of figuring out what was going on with agricultural crop production, and also figure out that there were many weather modification programs ongoing in the, across the United States, and that some of these programs, most of them actually, had no government oversight and no public oversight. And some of them were being done as experiments. Some of them were being done by private companies. And so I decided to get a list of these programs from NOAA. And when I did, I became amazed at how many thousands of square miles they could modify with these programs. And then I began to understand why our climate was changing to a certain degree, because there were so many of these different types of programs.
Well, are any of these government-funded or government, are they all private?
No, some of them are government-funded, and some of them are funded by our government through for university experiments, and some of them are private companies. Right now, if you have the money, you can modify the weather, hire a company, a weather modification company, and modify the weather. Many thousand square miles if you have enough money to do it. And insurance companies right now modify your weather so they won't have to pay claims.
In other words, how would they modify, how would the insurance company modify the weather? Would they try then to alter the course of a hurricane?
Well, they would try and alter, for example, hail scenarios. They would try and alter too much rain. They would try and alter, have it rain out somewhere else besides where they have their customers. Private companies also can modify the weather so they can put snow in a ski resort now. So you have a competing conflict, because when you change normal weather patterns, some of these up to 4,000 square miles, you change the microclimates needed for agriculture to survive.
Well, are they actually then doing this in California and influencing the health of the trees?
They're modifying our weather in California. They're modifying our weather in Wyoming. As a matter of fact, in
You hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Rosalind Peterson. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Rosalind actually decided to do this on her own. And, of course, this is really how you're going to get accurate information. I mean, there's so much of an effort to conceal the truth from the American people, and so Rosalind just set off on her own in her spare time. And what she found out, there are many, of course, weather modification programs going on in America today, and you're not hearing about it. And you can actually hire a company to modify the weather. Sometimes the insurance companies will do this because they don't want hail or a lot of rain in areas where they are insuring people. Other times the ski resorts will modify the weather so they'll have snow and a long season. But what this does, it interferes, of course, with the overall climate of our country. And this is what's happening. Oh, certain groups want to modify the weather in their area, but you can't modify the weather in one area without, of course, influencing it all across the country. So you pick up the story from there. What have you actually found, Rosalind?
Well, what we found is, for example, five states got together, and every year since the winter of 2005, they have been implementing putting more snow into the Wyoming mountains than ever before in order to supply water to Southern California. Well, it sounds nice, except that they put other counties and other states into drought conditions, and even in Wyoming, surrounding states like Colorado, all of a sudden they're not getting the rainfall they normally would get in a normal year. They're not getting the snow. So what happens is that when you modify such huge areas to put snow in one place, or to put rain in one place, or to dry up, in other words, normal rainfall so that it doesn't happen in one county or one state, you begin to impact all the surrounding areas, and you change this weather. So we haven't talked about the ethical consequences of this, and no one is looking at the agricultural consequences.
Well, you tell us about the ethical, you tell us about the agricultural, and of course the biggest thing is, if this is going on, why aren't we hearing about it? Why isn't Russ Limbaugh telling us, and why isn't Sean Hannity and Brian Williams, and why don't the American people realize what they're doing? And of course you begin playing, you know, games with God's plan for the weather. Why it has disastrous consequences, and we're beginning to see that more and more. So pick the story up there.
Well, the reason that you're not hearing about it is that no one talks about it. As a matter of fact, I didn't know that there were so many weather modification programs. I had no idea until I started to get the list from NOAA and started to research why our skies look so different than they used to, and why our weather here was not acting normally.
Now, who is NOAA?
NOAA. It's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association. It's a United States agency, government agency.
All right, so they've got the list then of all the weather modification programs.
Yes, they're supposed to, but I don't think they list all the military ones that are ongoing.
And so there are a lot of military ones that they're keeping secret from the American people, because we wouldn't want Osama bin Laden to learn about that. Is that sort of the idea?
I think that that's the idea. And also the military has talked about in several papers, well, actually, there's hundreds of papers now where the military is talking about the new weapon of the future will be weather modification.
But, of course, we've signed a treaty saying that we would not do that. We've given our sacred word as a country, an honorable country, that we wouldn't modify the weather and use that for military applications. And yet, of course, they're planning on doing it.
Yes, and Elgin Air Force Base is a weather modification place where the U.S. Air Force practices modifying the weather. So we do know that if the military says, well, we can deny you rainfall, we can put you in a drought, we can control your weather, you must do what we want or we will change your weather.
Well, can they do that all over the world?
I believe that they have the capability now to do it all over the world, yes.
Okay, you go right ahead. Well, tell us, you know, this is a frightening thing to contemplate, because what we're doing, of course, is planning, you know, working against God's plan to provide rainfall. And with that, of course, the agriculture and the trees. And, I mean, between man's plan in time and God's plan in eternity, there's an infinite quality of difference. And when man begins playing God, sometimes he can create terrible, terrible, terrible problems. But you go right ahead, Rosalind.
Well, if we change our microclimate, here's what's happening, no matter who's doing the changing. When we have such greater, much greater capabilities, and anyone can Google weather modification companies and come up with a whole list of them, Weather Modification Inc., Evergreen, there's national and international corporations that are now in the business of weather modification. So what happens is that without any oversight and without the public knowing, people are not going to know why their crops are not growing properly, why their weather has suddenly dramatically shifted so that they're getting too much rain. And you see, a lot of these experiments, they can't control the end result of them. They know that they work because they'll put rain in one place, but a lot of times they put too much rain so you get flooding. Or they can put too much snow. Or they can put other places in drought. So the conditions upon which they're working are experimental, and when you combine them, the synergistic effect on agriculture and tree health and actually our natural resources is tremendous.
All right, well, now, is this having an effect on our agriculture here in California?
I think it is, yes. One of the things that we're having is we're putting, for example, more and more grapes. More and more land is going into grape production. And we're taking out apple trees, because they're not doing well, and we're putting everything in grapes. Well, now, even though the land mass that's being put into grape production, just as one example, the harvests are getting lighter. And they're getting lighter because of the lack of sunlight and the weather modification programs that are ongoing. And yet people don't realize. They say, well, it's abnormal, there's something strange going on with the weather, without really having a feel for the type of weather modification programs going on.
Well, now, of course, are you suggesting that we're having more clouds? Is that why the grapes are getting less sun?
Yes, that's one of the reasons.
Now, how do they create clouds, and how do they create rain? We know they used to use iodine, but how are they doing this today?
Well, they're using silver iodide, but they're also using a wide variety of more potent chemicals as well, different combinations of chemicals.
But what about the effect of those chemicals on human beings? What about those effect of the chemicals on insects or on animals?
Well, it's changing. We're having bird declines, bee declines. San Francisco Chronicles has recently come out with an article talking about pollinator declines. And see, as you shift the climate, you get declines in different species as well, because you're not having the crops to come in at the right time for pollination. So the chemicals themselves are getting in our drinking water supplies. I've got all of the test results from 1970 from the California State Department of Health in Sacramento, California, Drinking Water Division. And they're required by law to test every single drinking water source in the state of California, whether it's a winery, a municipal water district, and they have to do so many tests per year. And for $100, you can purchase the CD that gives you every single water test for every single chemical since 1970. And so what I did is I got a hold of this. So I didn't do the test myself. I got their tests, and I began to look at all of the test results to see what was unusual. And we got unusual spikes in barium, aluminum, manganese, magnesium, strontium. There's some just unusual chemicals, and what they do is almost across California as a whole, they'll spike way over state and federal levels at a level that's all at the same time. They don't spike so much individually, they spike together.
No, but are they spraying this in the atmosphere? How is it getting up there, to create the clouds? And of course, we suspected a long time they were using the barium and aluminum. Is this being sprayed, or what's really going on?
Well, there's three different subjects here, so I'll go through them one at a time.
All right, you go ahead.
Okay, there's weather modification chemicals, which can be either ground-based or air-based. In other words, they can spray them with an airplane, or they can spray them from the ground. So there's the weather modification chemicals. Then you have the chemicals that are used in atmospheric heating and testing programs, where the chemicals are sent up in canisters on rockets, or they're sent up on the space shuttle sometimes. And what they do is they release these canisters at different places, at different elevations, I should say, in our atmosphere. And then they superheat them, and they create an explosion, and then they do testing with that. Well, these mixes of chemicals, like aluminum, barium, lithium, strontium, which is radioactive, in other words, all mixed together, and then you can see some of their reactions in our skies. There's unusual colors in our skies that look like auroras, and you can see the colors sometimes. But what happens is those chemicals are now coming down and getting into our drinking water supplies and our soil.
But of course, have anybody checked to see if this is harmful to human beings or animals?
No, because people haven't studied their water test results in order to find out what's going on.
But you have the water test results, so you know what's going on, don't you?
Yes, you can see the spikes and the different years of the test, and then the spikes.
And so you know what the tests are, you know what the spikes are, and they're simply contaminating the water. They're contaminating our soil. They're contaminating our animals. They're contaminating us. We'll be back in just a moment from Rosalind Peterson. Well, that's fascinating, Rosalind. Go right ahead.
So the third part of this is that a lot of people have noticed a lot of persistent jet contrails. And they've noticed a lot of man-made clouds, unusual clouds, unusual weather patterns. And so NASA has been doing studies on this to find out why all of a sudden, since the late 1980s, we're having persistent jet contrails. So NASA goes in and starts doing these studies, and then all of a sudden finds out that these jet contrails now are starting to take different forms, make man-made clouds, which NASA now admits because of their studies, and they're beginning to talk about how these man-made clouds form and how they persist for hours, sometimes 16, one jet leaving a persistent jet contrail, that contrail can persist for 16 to 20 hours and cover 4,000 square miles.
Well, now, of course, is this because of the product that's used in the fuel, that they change the product in the fuel that makes it much more liable to create these clouds?
I think that their jet fuel, according to an according to a military colonel that I talked to, at one point had told me that around 1988 or 1989, that jet fuel had changed and had gone from JP4 to JP8. And he gave me a long history. He called me at the behest of Senator Dianne Feinstein, actually, and gave me a long history about jet fuel, talked to me for over an hour about jet fuel, and said that that the JP8 then had additives in it, which the Air Force on their website admits quite readily. And so this discussion about Professor Gregory Benford at Irvine University wrote a 1997 paper in which he talked about, in other words, having jets changing the how the jets burn the fuel in order to get these persistent contrails. So they do know that things started to change quite deliberately, and now NASA says that persistent jet contrails exacerbate global warming, impact natural resources negatively. And some studies coming out of the University of Illinois in corn crop production show that when you have more cloud cover, crop production in corn goes down. And so it makes sense because here, for example, in California, we're under more persistent jet contrails and man-made clouds than ever before. And our native grasses are not growing as tall. Our pine trees won't grow straight anymore and kind of lean over. Well, if you cut down the amount of sunlight reaching the earth, you cut down grass's ability to grow. Therefore, we've had a couple of years now of grasses not growing more than 6-8 inches, if that, where they used to grow taller than 5 feet in previous years. We're having a case of where crop production is lower, like in the grapes. Tomatoes aren't doing as well. There's a lot of things that aren't doing as well.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Rosalind is saying that, and pointing out that here in California, we're seeing the crops aren't doing as well. The grass, you know, will grow 6 or 8 inches high, where it used to sometimes grow 5 feet high. Certainly our trees are not doing as well. The tomatoes, the other crops are not doing as well because we have the persistent sky coverage, cloud coverage, and a lot of this is directly related to the actual alteration of the sky. And at least in part that the jet fuel, are there other things that are contributing besides the jet fuel, Rosalind?
Well, yes. When you have the synergistic effects of weather modification programs, the addition of persistent jet contrails and man-made clouds, which we never saw before, because when I was growing up, there were no such things. And into the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, I can't even find pictures of it here because we're in a rural area, but also because jets didn't leave those types of plumes that had these weird formations, and they didn't form man-made clouds. So there's been a change, and when you take the combination of atmospheric heating and testing programs, which are interfering with normal atmospheric functions, you take the jets themselves, and jet fuel emissions alone negatively impact human health, just like automobile exhaust does. And when NASA says, well, you've got global warming from these persistent jet contrails, it's exacerbating it, then what's happening to us is we're having multiple crop and tree effects. And these include lowered crop production. This includes more aluminum getting into the soil. And as pollution increases, the rain becomes more acidic, the aluminum gets into tree roots. And when it gets into tree roots, it prevents the roots from uptaking enough water and enough nutrients to survive and grow. So that end of it means that the trees look like they're dying of drought. The other thing that happens for the trees is when you have a lack of photosynthesis and the crops, they're getting a double shot here because all of a sudden, not having enough direct sunlight, they can't grow tall and strong because all living things on the earth need energy to grow. So you have these combinations of air pollution, weather modification changing the microclimates, more air pollution, adding to this and from these persistent jet contrails, because they're not just a contrail of ice crystals and water vapor. They contain huge amounts of jet fuel emissions. The list is the EPA 1990 list, which is available online, from subsonic jet fuel emissions, lists an enormous number of problems with human health and crop health and animal health within that realm of jet fuel emissions.
Well, now, of course, we're not hearing about this though, through regular channels, and certainly is, what is the government doing to protect the people? What is the government doing to protect the crops? What is the Agriculture Department doing to let the farmers understand what's going on?
Because they're not telling them. That's the first thing. When I went to the Farm Bureau here locally...
Now, whereabouts do you live, Rosalind?
I live in Ukiah, California.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
And when I went to the local Farm Bureau, they didn't know about this.
Were they interested when you began to explain to them what's going on?
Yes and no. They didn't really want to believe it.
Well, of course, you know, but basically you go back and read the book written in 1970 by Zygmunt Brzezinski, who certainly is one of the most powerful men in the world today, having been the organizer of the Trilateral Commission. But in his book in 1970, he talked about how we were going to be able to create storms and droughts.
Yes.
We're going to be able to create storms and droughts. We have his book. Anybody would like to see the pages, they're there. And, of course, this has all been known by the elite for a long time. They just don't want you common people, and especially the farmers, to find out what they're doing, because that aluminum, of course, is going to get into the people as well. Mm-hmm. And aluminum, of course, is not a good metal to have any more than the barium or the other things that they're giving us. Go right ahead, though.
Well, I agree with you. But, see, the other effect is that when you have man-made clouds, This is from NASA, is when you have man-made clouds and you exacerbate global warming, you're warming up us, you're having two effects. And one of the effects that you're having is you warm us up at night. When we have cloud cover at night in the winter, the temperatures don't drop into freezing. When they don't drop to freezing for enough days during the year, apple crops, fruit crops don't get enough fruit, they don't get enough freezing hours to set the fruit for the next year's crop production. So you have this man-made persistent jet contrail, white haze cloud cover that is actually impacting crop production because we don't get enough freezing hours at night.
Hold that thought.
Thank you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our guest is Roslyn Peterson. For our listeners out there who do not understand the greenhouse effect, basically what happens is certainly you have, during the daytime, you have the sun warming up the earth. Then you have your greenhouse gases up there. But then, of course, during the winter, then at nighttime, why, of course, the back of the earth is away from the sun. But if you have greenhouse gases there, they keep the heat from leaving the earth, and so it keeps it much warmer, and that's what the greenhouse effect is, at least at nighttime, is to keep it much warmer. And what Rosalind is saying is that because during the nighttime, when of course there's no sun shining, but of course the greenhouse gases are holding the heat in, then of course the temperature doesn't go down so far, and the trees cannot form the fruit properly. Would that be a fairly good statement, Rosalind?
That is a good statement, except that when you put artificial clouds up at night,
right,
you actually hold the heat down and in. If
right.
you had clear skies, even with some greenhouse gases, the heat would be able to evaporate upward. But the clouds tend to warm us up, and the humidity gets higher, so that you don't get enough freezing hours for tree and crop health. And when you don't get enough freezing hours, you need each crop, like each apple crop, needs a certain a number of freeze hours where the temperature drops below freezing. And if they don't get that number of hours, they won't produce a crop the next year. So we're dependent on colder temperatures for your apples, your peaches, your cherries, all these plums, pears, all these crops need, in other words, these cold temperatures. So when you artificially put man-made clouds up, along with the pollution and the greenhouse gases, but when you put these clouds up, it changes the humidity and the temperature. And then the other thing that happens at night when you don't get cold temperatures is that pests like bark beetles and other type of pests that attack our fruit crops and form molds and mildews and other things are not eradicated from the freezing temperatures, or at least controlled. So these bugs and pests proliferate. This causes more crop damage as well. So you get a wide variety of agricultural impacts.
Well, I would think, of course, that people back in Washington, D.C. at the Department of Agriculture would be very much aware of this, and apparently they're not.
Well, Bridget Conway in Arizona.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and, of course, what Rosalind is saying is that basically if the crops don't get cold enough at nighttime, you have to get the temperature down if you want to get good fruit crops the following year. And when you have a cloud cover at nighttime artificially created, it holds the heat in, and of course the temperature does not drop at nighttime as it ordinarily should or would if it weren't for those artificially created clouds. And as a result, why, we certainly are not getting the proper temperature to get good fruit crops. So go ahead, Roslyn.
Well, Bridget Conroy, who's a co-founder with me of the Agricultural Defense Coalition, actually took all of this data and information, and she went to the USDA in Arizona, and she made a packet, talked to them several times, and they said, well, they would send it on to Washington, and it went nowhere. They don't want to talk about it because there's a pressure to not talk about what's going on, because then someone might question, well, why is there no public oversight? And this is a multi-million, billion-dollar business now of being for universities and for the military and for private companies to be hired out to modify the weather. And so this industry has lobbyists. It's well-protected. And so what happens is that no one in Congress wants to step up and say, no, we're going to protect agriculture, and we're going to put some rules and regulations in here so that we protect agriculture. And they don't want to do that because the lobbying and the money and the military funding for money into the universities in different places is driving this. It's huge.
But, of course, this is going to result in food shortages down the line, isn't it?
Well, the United States was a net exporter of food until about 3 years ago. Now we are importing food, and I don't think most people really understand that there's been this change in the last 3 years, but it was starting, in other words, closer to the beginning of the Bush administration. But all of a sudden, we've had so much of a sea change in weather that we're starting to import more, and that's why you see more food coming in from other countries, like China and other areas, because, one, companies don't have to follow as many rules and regulations as they do here, but also food can come in, and we're seeing the consequences of buying a lot of food that's contaminated from China.
Well, of course, what is the average farmer? The average farmer you must be talking to, certainly he's trying to do a good job. He's dependent on good crops, and if his crops aren't good, why, he's not going to be able to make a living down the line. Why, we're going to end up destroying our own farming industry, aren't we?
It is going downhill, with bee declines and pollinator declines, but a lot of, I don't think that it may not be hurting the big companies, but it's certainly hurting a lot of the ranchers. They can't figure out why the grass doesn't grow. They have to buy food now. They're in drought situations unheard of. There's a lot of areas, like in Southern California, they're privatizing the water. And when they privatize the water now, they've restricted many of the farmers in Southern California, especially down San Diego and further toward the end, down the Baja direction of California. What's happening is that they're controlling the amount of water that farmers get, so putting them out of business and telling them how much they can grow, how many crops they can grow, what they can or cannot do. So be very careful if anybody says to you they want to privatize your municipal water district, because it's going to get sky-high expenses, and you're going to be told what you can grow and what you can't grow and how many acres you can have under cultivation.
Well, tell us what happened when you went to the United Nations to talk and to address them. Was this one of the committees on agriculture, or was it what sort of a committee was it?
Well, this was a whole convention. And at the United Nations, there were about 2,500 people there from around the world. And at the United Nations, there was this whole conference on talking about not only weather modification in agriculture, but they were talking about climate change and how it was impacting us all. And it's the 60th annual conference on climate change. And we were there for 3 days, and they had roundtables and panels, workshops, and they were looking on the scientific evidence on climate change, consequences, water security, land use, politics, energy. There was many, many discussions that went on over these 3 days and presentations. So I was invited to talk about this subject and talk about agriculture with relation to climate change. But what was surprising is that when I started to talk about weather modification, when I started to talk about atmospheric programs, when I started to talk about the persistent jet contrails, and I showed the pictures of the man-made clouds up on this huge screen, people came up to me later and they were shocked, because they didn't know what was happening. They had no idea. A man who was Secretariat of Forestry at the United Nations from Finland, who was sitting next to me on the dais because he was part of the panel at one point that I was on, and he leaned over to me after my speech and he said, "I didn't know." He was just stunned.
Well, so really, it sounds, so absurd. Now, not to me, I don't think to my listeners, because we've been talking about this sort of thing, but I certainly think you're probably the best informed speaker we've had on this subject. And really how tragic it is, of course, that the people around the world do not understand. Now, are they having the same problem in these other countries because of jet fuels, or are they simply modifying their weather as well, as, or is it just simply primarily here in the United States?
No, I talk to people from around the world, from Canada, from Italy, from England, from Brazil. I communicate with people from around the world. And Turkey, I talk to people everywhere. And what happens is that they've been writing to me because they didn't know what was happening. And all of a sudden, I write with newswithyous.com, and all of a sudden they begin to pick up my articles, and all of a sudden they begin to ask questions about these persistent jet contrails and the man-made clouds and the radical changes in weather. And you see, they're being told, even at the United Nations conference, there's this drumbeat: climate change, global warming, we must fix it, you know, we have to fix it. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, maybe we should subtract, you know, in other words, to a common denominator here, in other words, reduce air pollution. In other words, jets used to fly without leaving persistent jet contrails and man-made clouds, they could do it again. In other words, we have the technology because we were doing it before when the jet engine was first invented, you know, after World War II. During World War II, there weren't hardly a couple handfuls of jet engines, and they were mostly small and experimental. And it wasn't until we got into the 50s, actually. Commercial airlines have not been around all the time. people think you know, we used jet airplanes in jet engines in World War II, but in actuality we didn't. There was just a handful by Germany and a handful of experimental ones from England. But we weren't into jet engines until after the war was practically over, and there were very few at that time. So a history of the jet engine, even early history, they didn't leave the type of contrails and man-made clouds that we see now. There's no comparison. So we have the technology to go back. We have the technology to not use weather modification when we know it interferes with crop production and climate change. And we already know how to do this. We can already put the skids on this and say, whoa, hold the hoe. We don't need to do this.
Well, of course, the thing is, of course, let's imagine that they want to lay a lot more snow down up there certainly in Montana or that part of the country. Well, of course, you know, this is obviously going to have an effect elsewhere. Do they have to get any sort of permit to do this? Can they just go ahead and do it and nobody can stop them?
No permits are required now. There's nothing.
Well,
as far as I know, I've never seen a single solitary government document which says that you have to apply for a permit to change the weather over your house or wherever you want to change it. No.
And, of course, I mean, so basically these companies come up. Now, you mentioned, of course, that that they have used the silver iodate in the past. But what else are they using? What are they using today to cause snowfall in certain parts of the country?
Well, there's a corporation, for example, called Dynamat. And Dynamat Corporation, it was listed in the 2005 issue of Popular Science magazine. And what Dynamat has done is they've said, well, we're going to take this super absorbent chemical which they used to use for cleaning up spills. In other words, if there was a spill of some chemical on the floor, you could put this powder on it. It would absorb everything and turn it into everything into a powder. And so what happened was that they decided to take this chemical, rush it into production, put it in Dynamat Corporation says, well, I'll buy the jet, and we'll see if we can seed hurricanes. And so they've been putting this chemical up, and what it does is they put thousands of pounds into it, and they've made clouds dissipate. You know, just sprinkle it in, it absorbs the moisture, but then the problem is the chemical is very toxic. It drops down to the ground. And then what happens to that chemical when it rains? It turns into a liquid, goes into your drinking water supplies, goes into wherever it goes. So Dynamat is now kind of working with NASA, and they're working, or no, I'm not sure which one. But they've got some funding from a university, and they're going to try to see hurricanes with this chemical. So my question is, well, we've done Project Fury and some other weather modification and hurricane controls, and they went awry in previous years. It's pretty well documented that for about 20 years or so, our government was involved in trying to modify hurricanes, and unsuccessfully, they had adverse effects because the hurricanes would change direction or gain strength and do different things. So, but this is ongoing right now. The testing is ongoing. So we don't have anybody saying, okay, for your weather modification, what chemical are you using? Where is it going when it hits the ground? Does it disrupt marine life? Does it, you know, is it falling in a lake? Is it falling in your drinking water supply?
The biggest thing is, what does it do to humans? And what does it do to animals? What does it do to crops?
Sure, but see, no one wants to answer that question because, you see, scientists are going off and saying, well, we're not going to say anything because if we say something, we're going to lose our funding for these programs.
Well, no, but what about, have you talked to Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, or Senator Boxer, or anybody else? And is there anybody in Congress or in the Senate who's concerned about this?
No, they don't like to respond. They don't like to respond very well to this. Senator Feinstein, you know, they send back letters which say, well, there's really nothing going on and that everything is okay. You know, she had a, you know, she, the Air Force, at the behest of Senator Feinstein, sends out letters saying everything is just fine, it's normal, you know, there's nothing going on. Paul Moyers saw one of those letters when we did KNBC-TV4 program. We did two, actually, about this. And, of course, they say, well, no, everything's okay. But then Bridget Conroy and I, there was a weather modification bill in 2006 where they wanted to, Senate Bill 517. And Bridget and I got together and fought it for an entire year, calling up aides, calling up senators' offices, emailing them, sending them packets. You can't imagine how much work we did talking to people, radio shows, demonstration in Los Angeles last year, went to Oregon, went to Arizona. In other words, we talked ourselves blue so that this wouldn't pass.
Did the bill pass?
No. It died without getting to the floor of the Senate.
Well, look, before we go on, I want you to get your web page out. I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you and help you in what you're doing, because I think what you're doing is so vitally important. Oh, Rosalind?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay, go ahead. Don't be bashful.
Okay. Okay. People can contact me, Rosalind Peterson. The best place to go is to my website, californiaskywatch.com. It's all spelled out. It has my address, has all my contact information there. Or you can call me at 707-485-7520. You can contact Bridget Conroy in Phoenix, Arizona, and she's at arizonaskywatch.com. Another website is bakerfieldskywatch.com, and that's in Bakersfield, California. And you can see part of a program that we made for the internet about some of these programs, and it discusses the names. My website has a lot of information on it, and so does Bridget's. So that you can go and look at documents and you can look up the information that I've been talking about. And everything that I'm talking about, I can back up with public documents.
And, of course, you can also read some of those articles that Rosalind has written at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. You go to the website, go to the far left, you'll find her name there. And see, we're fortunate to have that. That's how I really, of course, found out what she was up to. I was reading through news reviews. I saw that it had been actually published. I read the article, and I said, Rosalind, you've got to come on to Radio Liberty. I want our audience to hear this. Are you getting much opportunity to get the word out across America? Are many of the radio programs, talk radio programs, putting you on?
Yes, more and more all the time, as people are becoming more and more concerned about their tree health, about agricultural health of their crops. Human health has been an issue. So as people are finding themselves, even like rickets, one example is rickets is a bone disease. It's brittle bones.
And it's because of lack of sunlight.
Lack of sunlight. And they talk about cloud cover being one of the reasons for the rickets. And I'm going, well, we know where that's coming from. And the University of California at Berkeley, Kaiser Health Foundation, many of those are studying rickets.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, Rosalind, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. And so you're saying, are we really getting a recurrence of rickets? Well, we haven't seen that disease. I mean, I practiced orthopedics for 50 years. I never saw a case of rickets. And, of course, I live here in the Monterey Bay area. I think we probably have a little better air than many other areas. Do you know the Monterey Bay region?
Yes, I do.
Now, how's our skies here? We certainly have our jets flying over, but... it seems to me that, maybe we do have an abnormal amount of cloud coverage. I really don't know. You know, we take these things so much for granted. We're not watching the skies the way we should, that's for certain.
Well, no, we're not looking up. And I can tell you that rickets is on the rise, and we haven't seen rickets like it is now since our children were forced to work in the coal mines in the early part of American history. So there's been a change, and we need to all know that what you're seeing around you, we have to look at what's going on around you, begin to be aware that your livelihood, our food production is at risk, our tree health is at risk, and we can do something about it right away, but we have to take action. And that means educating our senators, even if they resist. We have to become lobbyists to protect agriculture, to protect human health. And many of these programs don't need to be right now. I know it's a big, huge, multi-million-dollar industry, but we can say no. And we have to educate them. We have to have the documents and haul them into those offices. And the more people they hear from, the less they're going to be able to resist knowing what's going on.
Well, I think what you're doing is so vitally, vitally important, and people have to realize, of course, that America is under attack from all sides today, and this is simply one of many, many things, but it's fortunately, we have at least a couple of people out there on the front lines, and they're really trying to sound the alarm, and so people have to understand, you know, if we begin to lose our ability to produce as much food. We have been certainly one of the great sources of food throughout the world for many years, and now suddenly we're beginning to become a food importer, and most people have no idea what's going on. Rosalind, I'm really looking forward to having you on all of our stations. Fortunately, we have a number of networks, and so I think we have a program early tomorrow morning. We'll look forward to talking to you then.
Well, I'll look forward to speaking with you as well, and thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us, and thank you for caring enough to, you know, actually spend your time and your effort and your finances trying to awaken the American people.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Good night, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, fire. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you enjoyed the program. Actually, we have, of course, a DVD put out by Bob Fletcher on weather modification. We carry a book on weather modification by Jerry Smith, and so that information, we actually have other 4 tapes. We have individual tapes, but let me suggest the DVD by Bob Fletcher on this subject. Let me suggest the book by Jerry Smith on weather modification. And, of course, don't think that this is something that's somebody else's problem. If we begin to lose our food supply, it's going to have a profound impact. And I'd like to suggest that these are all manifestations of these dark forces we keep talking about. America is entering a period of chaos and crisis, and you're going to have to begin looking after yourself. You need to be certainly have a supply of food on hand. People say we could never have food shortages in America, and I say, why couldn't we? Especially after what you've heard tonight. Anyway, if you'd like information on emergency food products, you need to have them on hand. You need to have the wheat and the other things. Most of the corn today, of course, is genetically modified in the United States. It's almost impossible to get. It's not. Certainly, you need to get your rice before it's all genetically modified as well. So if you'd like to get a catalog on emergency food products, long-term storage, so at least your family is going to be able to survive. And then, of course, we have to reach other people and let them understand that this is not all stupidity. There's another agenda behind what's going on, and the modification of the weather and the destruction of our food supply right here in America. And then, of course, you read Revelation 6:8, and you find out that there, it will come a time when there will be a great famine, and a quarter of the population of the world will die with a sword and by disease and by famine. And as Barbara Mark Shoppard said in her interpretation of the Revelation, that is talking about a quarter of the population will die, those who will not evolve to a higher level of consciousness. And in her book, which was incidentally financed by the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities, she said, that is not your job, referring to killing a quarter of the population of the world. That is ours, because we are the riders of the pale horse, death. And remember, Barbara Mark Shoppard is one of the most wealthy women in the world today. I wonder why she's so unconcerned about human suffering. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we truly are involved in a spiritual battle being carried out on a political battlefield. If you'd like to get those pages from Barbara Mark Shoppard's book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, we have copies of the original manuscript, and of course we have copies of her later book too, when of course it was cleaned up a little, coming out under the name of the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. But you must understand, the Rockefellers and the Carnegies and the Fords and J.P. Morgan, all involved in this world occult movement. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the forbidden secret, will begin to really zero you in on what's going on. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And if you'd like to get that catalog, regular catalog, health product catalog, or the emergency food catalog, understand that there really is a problem. And one day you may very well go down to the store and there's not going to be much there. Well, remember, we're having an all-day seminar on the 28th of October. That is a Sunday, about 3 weeks from now. That's the 28th of October. And we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will be able to come. So give us a call if you're going to be coming, because we're serving lunch. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, and we've got a lot of people signed up now, but we've still got room for more. So our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Dr. Garth Nicholson will be there. Ron Brown will be there, talking on finances and, of course, the program to destroy the value of our currency and impoverish our people. And then, of course, we'll have Carol Matriciana, we'll have Michael Shaw, we'll have a great time, and, well, we do hope you can be there. Again, that's the 28th of October, the location, Aptos Seascape Golf Course, our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.